Hello there, and welcome to another threesome podcast. It's Lex and Stacy, and this is episode what, Stace, number 9 or 10?
Well, it would technically be 11, but we have that lost show.
Oh, you can't count that yet. So that's just gonna fall in as an episode.
Well, no, there's that one, but there's the John Mellencamp show that you can't find.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So there is a lost show, so if that ever pops up, people might get it too for 1 week for a download.
Yeah,
this is episode 10.
We may have to do that. If you've checked out the LT2 channel's schedule, we have doubled up on shows for everybody, which is great. Makes it a lot easier to hear everything and suit your day a little bit better. So you can do that. Plus, also,
and it hits all the third shifters too.
It does hit all the third shifters. And the best part is you can also, if you miss that, find us on iTunes, correct? Under Threesome Podcast.
Correct.
And where else?
Yes.
Where else?
There's other places. There's Blueberry. There's Stitcher. Apparently Podcast Republic for Android. Just all kinds of places. Just do a search. And if you are using like an app or a podcast directory or something that you can't find us on, contact me through the website, threesomepodcast.com, and I will try to get us added for your listening pleasure and convenience.
Yeah, because we're podcast whores. Okay.
We are.
So, we have a common interest. We are fans of The Blacklist.
We are. I love it.
As well as all the other common interests we have, which are much more deceitful and awful.
Yes. Blacklist, I think, kind of, in a good way, encapsulates what makes you and I, you know, buds.
Yeah.
We appreciate the darkness.
Yeah. There's a lot of that guy that's me. You know, I relate to him completely. I could so see me living by myself and having some old broad looking after me, you know, cleaning up after me and, you know, doing a bullet surgery on me if I need it. Stuff like that.
I find her actually to probably be my very favorite. She's not in it very often, but his little old lady cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, who takes care of crime scenes after he's turned into a monster and, like, done something horrible to someone.
Well, he doesn't do horrible things. He has his people do it. He steps in every once in a while.
A couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got put in a couple.
He has his moments. He lulls you. You think he's, like, really charming, you know. He's almost dorky at times,
yeah.
You know, very relatable. And then every few episodes, all of a sudden, they have him do something that goes, oh, he is very much a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, he and does. He constantly does things on the show that normal people wouldn't have the stomach for outside of me. And I could totally see myself just dealing high-grade weaponry and, you know, having a posse and you having networks, banking networks, all that all around the world. That's so me.
Lex Staley, international criminal mastermind.
No criminal.
How does that sound?
It sounds awesome.
Well, he's kind of criminal. He's dealing in arms and all
yeah,
kinds
but he,
of things.
But he's,
there was a reason
he's
why
the, doing it to keep nefarious things from happening. He's a...
Well...
But he didn't used to be that guy. He is now, but he used to be the guy that he was just one of the bad guys. Now they all want to kill him because he's doing his own thing.
And how about breaking out Alan Alda, you know?
Yeah.
As like another big bad guy. It's like, really?
Alan Alda always plays a bad guy after MASH, you know? What was that?
I think my favorite
seduction
Alan Alda
of Joe Tynan, or whatever it was. Yeah, that was like
I never
the first.
Saw that.
That was like the first movie he played a scumbag, and he's played one ever since.
Well, he was in that Ben Stiller and Taya Leone movie where Ben Stiller is looking for his biological parents,
mm-hmm.
And when he finally finds them, it turns out to be Lily Tomlin and Alan Alda.
Yeah,
and they are hippies who still make LSD.
See, I could be that guy too.
And that was also Mary Tyler. Mary Tyler Moore showing her boobs, pushing them together. You don't actually see her boobs, but she's like, look at these. Look at these. I love that. That's a little gem of a movie. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Mary Tyler Moore was
my
childhood crush.
Was she?
Oh, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. Laura Petrie. Come on. My mom in the daytime be ironing clothes and stuff, and Dick Van Dyke would be on, and I was just fixated on her. It's like, I want a wife like that someday.
How'd that work out for you?
Nothing close.
No, was it Dick Van Dyke the show? What show was she just the legs? Wasn't there, because, I mean, they showed her face in Dick Van Dyke, didn't they?
Yeah.
And maybe it was a show before that where she was just legs. You never saw her, you just saw her legs.
Yeah, it had to be before that because that would be a natural progression.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
She's like a secretary, but that's all you ever saw.
And then there was the Mary Tyler Moore show, which was awesome.
Yes.
By then, though, I had other crushes like Goldie Hawn and, well, just Goldie Hawn for a couple of years. Because she's basically Kate Hudson.
You were probably the right age to appreciate Laugh-In, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where I first saw her.
And her little bikini. That may
have even been my first alone time show.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah.
A whole generation of men.
And I've never stopped loving her. I still to this day think she's unbelievably hot.
She's just cute as a button, and she strikes me, because we've already had this conversation in a prior podcast about, you know, the older chicks,
mm-hmm.
and how, like you said, that Sally Field was a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
but Sally Field or Goldie Hawn strikes me as being cool. Like you could hang with her.
Oh, totally. Kate Hudson's cool. I've actually met her. Yeah, she's very cool.
I remember when she first came on the scene. She looked. It was just like, wow, there is a spitting image of her mom right there.
Yeah, I think I met her when she was like 18. She came by the office with Christina Applegate when I lived in LA, and with Bobby Applegate, who is a record guy, which is Christina's father. And
okay.
And everybody said that's Goldie Hawn's daughter, and that's and at the time Married with Children was, you know, huge.
I was gonna say, you got Christina Applegate right at the prime.
Oh God, did I?
The big white blonde hair. And the little tiny, those little tiny skirts that she'd wear.
And she was very sweet. Actually, both of them were.
Good.
Yeah, very much so. Very polite, nice young ladies. I have to say, I was very pleased.
That's nice, knowing that, like, Hollywood semi-celebrity kids, you know.
Well,
being nice.
Believe it or not.
Little douchebags.
Believe it or not, I've met Kurt Russell, and he, of course, has raised her for the most part. And
right.
he's fabulous. He's a great guy.
Oh, good.
I mean, a regular fucking guy. Huge fan.
He is the reason that if Captain Ron is on, I will not turn it.
Yeah. Captain Ron is good. And
I love Captain Ron.
What was the movie he did with Mel Gibson and Michelle Pfeiffer, Tequila Sunrise?
Yes.
Yeah. He was so good in that.
And then, of course, my husband always watches, like, the Snake Plissken movies.
Oh, God, yes.
Escape, was it?
Snake Plissken was the man. And Lee Van Cleef just kept fucking him over. Before he died. But yeah, Kurt,
that'll teach him.
Kurt was a cool dude, man. I got to tell you. So I have no problem. I don't think I've really met a shitty movie star yet. You know, we had like Kiefer Sutherland come by here. You know, he was fucking awesome. Jada Pinkett was awesome. You know, it's just regular people.
Did you ask her why her kids are just so weird?
No. You fucking crazy? We got Jada Pinkett in the studio. We're going to talk to her about her kids? Fuck that. Well, I'm going to talk to her about her.
They're little weirdos.
Yeah, I was like, what turns you on? God, you're so hot.
She's like a tiny little spinner. She is. She's a little itty bitty thing.
Yeah, you can just throw her like a football. She's...
I'm actually picturing the spiral right now.
Yeah, you can throw a perfect spiral with her. And far, like 70, 80 yards. Yeah, she's got to weigh like 60 pounds.
Manning on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do down and out patterns in the hallway, all kinds of stuff.
This is just foreplay.
Yeah.
If you know.
But she is spectacular as a person and she's just a beautiful woman. Kiefer Sutherland was weird because he'd stand on his toes in pictures. I felt
he's also a little tiny guy.
Yeah, he is. He's like 5'8". And in pictures, you know, and of course, you know, Terry and I were like towering over him. So was D. You know, and then when the pictures came out, he was like close to the same size. We're like, what the fuck? How'd that happen? Now it's something we all
That's
do in pictures.
Star.
So it ends up being all of us the same height.
I'm going to have to remember that.
Yeah. No, you won't remember it because it's this picture that would have been anyway, but we're just stupid fucks on our toes. It's like, hey, guys, you know, this really isn't working. So, yeah, Blacklist is awesome. What other TV do you like? What have you checked out? There's a lot of new shows out.
Well, keep in mind, I don't have TV. So my viewing knowledge is just what's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
But I am very excited to see that the most recent seasons, last seasons of both Vampire Diaries and the originals are on Netflix. So I'll have something to do.
Have you watched From Dusk to Dawn, the TV show, yet?
We binged on that in one day.
Is it good?
That was pretty fun.
It's good?
Yes. It is.
Because I saw an interview with the director, and the way they shoot it looks really clean. Like it's almost 3D looking or something.
No, it was Robert Rodriguez, because I think he directed this.
Yeah.
We were surprised that his name was all over it.
Yeah.
If you've seen the movie, and I don't know about the other movies, I've just seen the first one with Selma. So I don't know what storyline the other movies followed, but you know, it kind of starts before the first movie.
Well, supposedly that scene is in one of those shows. And it's with a different chick, and it's
and the girl
is smoking.
The 24-year-old girl that she's in a string bikini for most of the series. The season.
What and a fun
she
job,
is. She's
huh?
Just gorgeous. It was yes.
It's like, God, I'm 24 and I'm so smoking hot and I'm just going to be in a string bikini through this whole thing. Fuck off.
Because I was thinking, how are they going to, how can you redo that Selma scene with the snake, you know, the dance?
Yeah.
It's just so fucking hot. And she does a pretty good job.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to say she beats Selma, but she's still really, really hot.
Nothing beats Selma in her prime. Wiggling that.
I know. She got the stripper boobs, and I just wish she hadn't done that.
Who cares?
She had very lovely breasts, like in Desperado and stuff. They were more suited to her little tiny frame. And now she's just all tits.
Aw.
I don't know. It makes her, because she's only like 5 foot tall. She is a tiny little thing, too. And it's just,
that being said, I still want tits.
Well, I think she gave them to you.
Why, why be with a woman if she doesn't have those? Seriously.
She was beautiful before the stripper boobs.
I didn't used to even care about boobs. And then somewhere along the line, I did.
Ass man?
Oh, totally. Yeah, you have to have, you have to have a good that too. And I'm no great shakes. You know, I'm getting up there in the years, and I'm, you know, there's lots of chicks that would say no to me, but I'm still a picky asshole. I'd rather be alone till death than to be with some thing. There's nothing to offer me aesthetically. It's just the way it is. Sorry.
Well, that's what incense and dim lighting is for.
Okay.
And drugs.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can I pass out with an erection? Can you just do it that way? Because, God, I don't want to look at your 66-year-old ass.
Did you see a study just came out where the study, sadly, has determined that men are hardwired to find women attractive in their 20s. After that, sorry, ladies, guys really just don't dig us anymore.
Nah, not true. Absolutely 100% not true.
Good.
Yeah. In my case, anyway. I mean, I would still be all over somebody like a Sophia Loren or Raquel Welch. I would give that a try.
Nice.
Are they super freak upper
60s
or
low
70s? What
about Liz Taylor right at the end?
Not right at the end, but, you know, 10 or 15 years before, sure. I would have hit that. It's Liz Taylor, for Christ's sakes. I even would have told her while I was doing her.
Colin Farrell apparently did.
Yeah. I even told her while I was, you know, while she was on her way out, I'd be like, hey, I gotta fuck you. You're Liz Taylor. It's okay. Like, you're just gonna fuck
sure
me, then leave?
Lot, I'm probably. Like,
yeah, that's part of fucking you. That's part of the package. If I stay and hold you, that's not fucking. Come on, Liz.
There was a...
Get back to the Cleopatra years.
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
Good Lord, she was beautiful.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was before plastic surgery and all that.
You know where she was hottest, though? You ever see Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
No.
Oh, Stacy, you dark thing. You have to see that movie. That movie is...
Wait, which one was that?
That's the one where they're like went out with this other couple and they come back to the house and they just have these twisted...
Is that Paul Newman?
No, Richard...
Okay.
Richard Crenna, maybe? Or...
Okay.
I can't remember, but they bring this other couple back at the house and they have this like dark dance that they do, you know, where they just snark at each other, her and Richard Burton. I don't even think it was acting. That's why it got Oscars. Because it's twisted as shit. It's the most twisted fucking movie I've ever seen when it comes to the dialogue in it. The acting is brilliant.
I will, because I did go back a few years ago. I went on a little Liz Taylor, like, viewing bender and saw, like, Butterfield.
And you didn't watch that?
I know. I don't remember if it maybe wasn't on Netflix at that time.
That was her finest acting moment by far of anything I've ever seen her in. That was probably for the both of them the top of the game.
Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And I think Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, they were like on their marriage for the third time.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes, they just couldn't quit each other.
They couldn't live with or without each other. They were attached at the brain, the hip, everything else immediately. Nobody was ever going to get between those two. But they so wanted somebody to. There just wasn't anybody powerful enough to do it for either one of them.
Not Eddie Fisher.
Mm-mm.
Larry Fortensky. I can't believe I remembered that name.
She supposedly just left a bloody trail of men as she continued to go back to him. You know, be like.
Is fascinating listening to Carrie Fisher talk
about her parents.
You know, the things that she writes.
Yeah.
About her parents and Liz Taylor and, you know, just. And it's like, man, what a fucked up childhood she had.
Oh, yeah. Debbie Reynolds, Eddie Fisher, Richard Burton, and Liz Taylor are like in your house while you're up in your bedroom and you're listening to that downstairs. And you know there was some twisted fucking shit going on.
Yes.
You know Richard Burton fucked Debbie Reynolds, and you know the other Eddie Fisher fucked Liz Taylor, and... You know, Richard Burton made Liz Taylor finger Debbie Reynolds and likewise. Yes, yes, do that. Do what I say.
You know, just totally see him doing unrelated, it. But with talking about sex with like the old film stars, apparently, legend has it, the best blowjob in town during the golden age of Hollywood was Nancy Reagan. Look that up. I'm not kidding, and I'm not making, you know, this up. Look it up. Allegedly, she was fantastic with her mouth.
That could have been a rumor passed around by Jane Wyman. Wasn't she with Ronald Reagan before Nancy Reagan?
I think, yeah, they were married. That was his other wife.
Yeah. Well,
but you know what? And I don't want to be disrespectful, even though she's, you know, a Republican. I actually really like Nancy. I think that she truly, truly, truly loved Ron and took care of him. And, you know, I wish no ill will on that lady. I would love to be able to meet her.
I've softened on all that stuff, this Republican-Democrat stuff. I've decided the outer fringe of both of them are fuckheads.
I agree.
All the normal people are grouped in the middle. Not really, you know, if you pulled us into a room, we'd all say we're not happy with either side and how it's going. But we have our loyalties that we have to extol on the outside. But secretly, I've just backed the fuck off of it and just said, you know, there's the answer's in the middle, not in either one of these parties.
I agree. You know what? Give me a Republican who wants to be fiscally responsible and have smaller government, but who also believes in a woman's right to choose and believes that it's up to people who they marry and all that good social stuff, and I would probably be all over them.
Yeah, well, even if that's the one guiding flaw of making you not vote for somebody, go ahead and do it anyway, because once they get in office, they don't want to do anything about guns or abortion or anything that's got such a hot, you know, fuse attached to it. You notice once they get in office, none of that shit gets attended to. So
I know.
Who gives a fuck? You know, I don't care if this guy wants to cut out babies on national TV. He won't.
Surprisingly, I would not vote for that guy.
Yeah, but that guy, once he got in office, you'd never hear a word about it again. It's like, I'm in office now. You know, fuck all these abortion people. I don't have time for this. And that happens every time. When's the last time you saw abortion addressed by an acting president? Yeah, thank you.
True. It no, because it is. It's all the state level stuff. It's when individual states, you know, like your Texas and and some of the southern states are making, you know, so that you have to drive 100 plus miles to get to a clinic. And if you're a poor woman, you just can't do that. You know, it's the state level politicians who are flexing their big muscles.
Yeah. So what? I mean,
pretty
come
much
on.
When you get up to the national level, you're just some lobbyist's puppet anyway.
Yeah, of course you are.
Yes.
And our Secret Service is so fucking bad. I mean, all the shit going on there is just crazy. You know, it's like we're not going to have a president.
Did you see where... where they said that Mitt Romney information back during the last election, information on where Obama was going to be and stuff was being leaked to Romney's campaign from the Secret Service.
Wow. Yeah, which...
So not only are they not protecting, they're, you know, actively trying to usurp, I guess.
Yeah. If I'm him, I fire all those people and have my own black ops security detail. Yes. I really would have reptilians. Which
reptilians and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, that whole thing's so stupid. Reptilians.
I love looking up those videos, though.
Oh, yeah.
For the record, I do not truly believe that reptile people are out there running the government. Yeah. However, I love going and watching and reading what people are, the people who believe it, what they're thinking, and watching all those videos on YouTube. Look up reptilians on YouTube. Hours of fun.
Uh-huh. It's ridiculous.
Hours and hours of fun.
Watch him as... his masking capabilities fall apart, and you could see his skin start to pulsate and pump as he's standing right in front of the president. It's like, shut the fuck up.
I like the one where they hit show the second eyelid blinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's the point? Are reptilians better shots than we are? What the fuck is this?
It's like, look, it's Donald Rumsfeld, but if you watch his face closely,
yeah,
you can see his second eyelid. It's like, really?
Yeah, I can explain that away. He's shit-faced. Yeah, it's that whole thing just makes me crazy. And people do eat it up and believe it. It's like, you're going to see one day, Lex.
Yes.
There's going to be lizards in your house. Well, I lived in Florida. I had lizards in my house a couple times.
Yes, cute little geckos.
Yeah, little green geckos, like the Geico commercial. It's not scary.
Except they didn't have an Australian accent.
Right. They just, their tongue just came out and went... I just don't understand that.
Having never seen a lizard in the wild until I moved down there, I was not bothered by them. I thought they were adorable. It was the poisonous snakes and giant disgusting bugs in Florida that really creeped me out.
Yeah, the water bugs and the palmetto bugs and, yeah. I hate those things.
One time at the station there on Hogan Road when I was doing overnights, I was out back smoking. It was the middle of the night, you know. There's no one there except whoever was on the air over at the 8.
Right.
And so I'm just sitting out there, like under the tower, remember where that was?
Yeah.
And sitting there, and I hear something coming through the grass. Okay, again, I'm hearing the rustling, and I'm looking out into the darkness just past the light, you know, circle from the porch and everything, and then I see it, and it was this freaking beetle that was the size of just the palm of my hand, and it came walking. I could hear it coming through the grass, and it came up on that cement pad, and it walked up to me, and every hair on my body was just standing up. I didn't even know what to do. And that little bastard stopped, and he looked up at me. It actually tilted its body and looked up at me, and I was like, oh my God. And so I took my toe and I flipped it over on its back. and then just watched it all night. I'd come out periodically and see it just still sitting there trying to flip over, and it couldn't. And I was secretly glad. It was the biggest bug I've ever seen in person, and it creeped me out.
Wow.
But it was, I could hear it coming through the grass before I saw it. Bugs just aren't supposed to do that.
No, huh?
That's the great thing about Michigan, can I say? You know, nothing up here is going to kill us. There are no poisonous reptiles that will either eat you or bite you and kill you. There are no bugs up here that will get you unless you're like allergic to bees, you know?
Yeah.
We don't even have fire ants up here. It's just, it's really nice.
Yeah, it sounds
tornadoes
nice.
Tornadoes literally are about the only thing that's going to kill us.
And you don't even get many of those.
Not here, no.
No. Air's too cool where you are. So you got a pretty maid.
They come through occasionally. Yeah. Exactly. So suck it.
Yeah.
Rest of the country.
We have fire ants. We have big ass grasshoppers, praying mantis.
Oh.
You know, water bugs, cockroaches. Did you see my beaver video on Facebook?
No.
Yeah, I'm like walking my dog one night, and I look over to the right, and there's a fucking beaver walking right by the waterway there. And he's like walking down the sidewalk with me. I'm literally 3 feet away from him, just shooting video on my phone.
Cool.
Yeah, I posted it about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
We do, in fact, have beaver here, too.
Yeah.
Just an FYI.
Yeah. That's, but he was fucking big.
Did he act aggressive?
No. No, he was completely comfortable. There were probably 5 or 6 people walking their dogs and stuff, and he was paying us no attention. I was literally 4 feet away from him videoing him. And my dog wanted a piece of him fiercely, but I was holding him back. I'm like, you don't want no part of him, man. He'll chew your neck off. He eats through trees, bitch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And whaps things with his tail.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. With lots of strength. I'm sure that would hurt.
Yes.
To get whipped with his tail.
Yeah.
But it was weird. It was so random. I'm like, oh, there's a beaver right by me. I think I'll shoot video.
That was a few years ago, listening to like morning radio here, and the traffic report was, you know, I-75 at some point going through Flint. Traffic had to be diverted because there was a dead bear in the road. And this was like in downtown Flint, you know, like, really?
Somebody hit a bear?
How did that happen? Yeah, poor thing. So yeah, there was a dead bear in the road and they were trying to extract it. So other people weren't running over it, I guess. And
oh, that sucks.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't like
but
bears
the fact
dying.
Is, again, this was almost like downtown Flint. There shouldn't be bears in Flint, you know.
No, but right above Flint, it gets pretty woodsy and pretty barren.
Well, there's Flint, and then there's Saginaw, and then like Bay City. And then, after that, actually, like 85% of Michigan's population lives at or south of the line of going across Saginaw.
Yeah.
After that, there's like no people.
Yeah, exactly.
Just trees.
My kid had that horse trees show up in Traverse or wherever it is.
Traverse City.
Traverse City, yeah.
That's a beautiful area.
It sure is.
Lots of money.
It sure is. That place is awesome. Too bad it's so fucking hard to get to. Oh, I'll just fly into Milwaukee.
Well, when you're coming from Milwaukee.
Yeah. It's like, thanks, Google. Thanks for telling me there's a lake.
I have told everybody I know that story.
Oh, who do you know? Shut the fuck up.
It's like he flew into Milwaukee.
And drove 9 hours.
Because, yes, as the crow flies, it is very close.
Yeah, it's 100 miles.
You know.
It's like, oh, I was like, Sam,
a lot
we'll
of
be
water in between.
It's like, Sam, we'll be there in 90 minutes. And then I get off and I look and it's like ferry route. Oh, the ferry doesn't go today. So we had to drive all the way around. That sucked. My hour and a half.
To see the Upper Peninsula.
My hour and a half turned into not. No, I didn't get to see shit. It was 2 a.m. when we pulled in there.
Did you go over the Mackinac Bridge then, I assume?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember.
You didn't take any boats or ferries or anything.
On the way back, we did.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We took that super duper fast one. It took you all the way across the lake in like 2.5-3 hours.
Nice.
Yeah. That thing was badass.
So what did you think of being on a great lake like that?
It was cool. I've never been on I've been on Erie before. But it was a disgusting dump when when we lived there. I think they've cleaned it up. So they say.
That would have been, Lake Michigan, I think.
That is Lake Michigan, yeah.
Across. Yeah.
Yeah, it goes over to Wisconsin.
Yep.
Or as they said,
Superior's
Wisconsin.
Up like at Duluth.
Yeah. I would love to do like a Great Lakes fishing thing or something. That would be cool. I was coming back from San Diego last weekend. And in Salt Lake City, there were 10 or 11 guys coming back to Dallas. They'd been fly fishing in the Utah mountains all weekend.
Nice.
They said they sent back over 600 pounds of salmon.
Wow.
He goes, you didn't even have to be good at fly fishing. He has three of the guys, that was their first time. They basically just came along to drink, and they caught more salmon than they could, you know, catch in a lifetime if they really were somewhere where you had to fish.
Nice.
I'm like, yeah, see, that's what I want. I want guaranteed fish. But I want to look like Brad Pitt on A River Runs Through It, you know, just out there in the...
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Oh, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
Back then I did. He looks as though the soul and life has been sucked out of him now. I think he's going to be like Robert Redford and not age well at all.
I don't know. He looks pretty good still to me.
He does. I mean, I'm not saying, but I mean, I'm thinking back, like, Robert Redford was, what, in his 40s when he did The Natural, and he was still good looking then. And Brad Pitt just hit 50, so he might be 50, 51. So, unfortunately, the rate that he has declined in, like, the last 10 years, I just wonder what he's going to look like in 10 years, or if he's going to do, like, the Kenny Rogers and be like, oh my God, blah.
Yeah, that Geico commercial with Kenny Rogers is scary.
I actually said I saw that with my mom, and I was like, Mom, look. Because she's heard me talk about Kenny Rogers and how he doesn't look anything like. And I'm like, that's Kenny Rogers. And she didn't believe me at first. And I'm like, no, really? Look, he's singing. It's Kenny Rogers.
He's had his face completely redone. He doesn't even look like himself anymore.
I know. And he was a good-looking man back in the day.
I mean, when he was with the First Edition... He had gray hair. He's had gray hair for 55, 60 years.
I know. It's just him, kind of like Steve Martin. You know? We just think of that.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. It's just what it is.
And he was, you know, when he did first edition, he was like in his 20s. And he had gray hair already. Of course, I remember that song on The Big Lebowski. It's awesome stuff.
Oh, he was so hot in that movie. The dude, I will be 95 years old and I will still tell whoever might be listening that the dude was just hot.
The dude, what's the saying? The dude complies, or what is it? The dude, I forget what it is.
I don't know.
I forget to say.
See, Jeff Bridges is one that shouldn't get old either. He just, oh God.
But he
After
does.
Robin Williams died, I watched The Fisher King, and he had his long hair in that movie, and it was like, oh, you're such a good looking man. But for me, he has to have his long hair to really be hot.
Yeah, he had a shaved head in Iron Man. He played the bad guy in that movie. That was pretty.
Tron was just too weird to see him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was like, there's young Jeff Bridges, and he's not quite, because, you know, it's fake, and it was just like, oh, I don't know. But Olivia Wilde looked great in that movie.
Uh-huh. Tron's boring. Sorry. I couldn't stay with that movie. I'm like, fuck.
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the first one. I mean, I was like a little kid. That was big space.
Yeah.
Movie when I was a kid, but I just didn't dig it, I guess.
No, I didn't care for it. I was like, I love sci-fi too, and it was just like, but I hated that game. Remember when it was a game?
What, dear?
Remember Tron the game? You know, the arcade game?
We weren't allowed to play arcade games, so not really. No.
What kind of fucking gypsy for parents do you have?
Oh, we were Amish.
Really?
No, but may as well been. It felt like it. Do you realize I did not see
that
the
explains
first time,
a lot.
Yes, the first time that my eyeballs gazed upon MTV, which had already been around, I was in 10th grade. I was at a friend's house, and they had cable, and I got to see it, and I was like, oh, I feel like so cool right now. I feel like I finally am like where everyone else my age is at.
I was in a little shitty ghetto apartment. I was like 24. And then smoked a lot of pot and watched MTV.
You know, totally
I miss that guy. I miss that guy so much.
Remember Slam Dancing Santa?
Yeah.
The smoke pot smoking Lex.
Uh-huh.
I love Slam Dancing Santa. That was like one of my things, because that was like right when I was in college, and they would show like his little hat in the mosh pit.
I know.
And that was when Randy, remember Randy? Hey, man.
Yeah. What a stupid time that was. ESPN was just starting up, you know, and it was like watching fucking rodeo in the middle of the night while you're just baked. It's like, what the fuck? What the fuck kind of a channel, sports channel shows rodeo all fucking night? Because they didn't have contracts with anybody with baseball, football, so they were like just making it up as they went along. Hey, it's Chris Berman, and welcome to the American Rodeo.
Or the snooker championships.
Yeah, I mean, it was all kinds of shit like that. They were showing like foreign sports and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, anything they could get their hands on just to show people they were a sports channel. Like, this is weird. They're not allowed to talk about anything. They don't have any contracts with anybody.
That would have also been, there was both Comedy Central and the Comedy Channel. Back then, there were the two comedy channels. Do you remember that?
I do.
And then they merged into one, and it became Comedy Central, which I remember being bummed about, because I actually, back at that time, thought that I liked the Comedy Channel better. I was kind of sad to see that one go.
Oh, Comedy Central was a better brand.
Probably, yeah. It's obviously still around.
Yeah.
Thanks to John Stewart and Stephen Colbert. You are. You're very right. You are always right.
No, I am not always right. I'm like never right. I'm so wrong, actually, a lot of the time.
Give us an example.
Let me see. Oh, I can't think of one. But I'll let you know when I am.
Okay.
I've been wrong in love. You've heard about all that.
And someday everyone else will hear that, too.
Oh, yeah.
So,
fucking epic radio.
Does she know?
About the last episode? Yes.
Yeah.
She does. Ooh. I told
bothered
her,
by that at all?
A little. Because I told her, I said, I don't say one bad word about you, but you're not going to like it very much. She goes, how do you pull that off? I went, I don't know. I just went back and listened to it and went, wow, I didn't say anything bad about her, but this is all bad.
Yes, coming up in the future, there will be a show that we recorded actually last week that Lex will be inserting into the rotation once the
or not
is gone. Oh, so there's a possibility that might not air now?
At some point it will.
Okay.
Because even if everything chills out between us, she's enough of a sport where she'd be like, whatever. You know?
I think that would be a great, like, Christmas break.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Do yeah. it in the week during New Year's, though. Don't do it during Christmas week.
No. Let's make sure I'm on vacation or something.
Yes.
Yes. You shut up. It's the most bearing hour of content ever I've ever heard anybody do. This is like getting the tapes of somebody's therapy session.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
Starring Stacy as the therapist.
I don't know if I did a good job, though.
You were shitty. But that's okay.
But I'm a good listener.
Yeah. You just laughed, and I was trying to make you laugh, but still tell the story right.
Yes.
And we did a good job there.
Yes.
There is one part where there was just raucous laughter because I just melted down. But I still believe I was completely right in everything I said.
Well, a week later, it hasn't changed, has it?
It's actually almost 3 weeks later. And it's changed immensely, actually. Mm. But that being said, maybe not. So I'll keep you all posted when that episode airs. But it would have to be probably when my dealings with said person are over.
Oh, no. I think this one should just be busted out. You know.
I know you do.
I want this one next week, actually.
Yeah, I know you do. But that's not happening.
It would be a great Thanksgiving show.
Yeah, it kind of would.
Lots of pumpkin latte spice stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was definitely a Starbucks moment in there.
Yeah.
And
someday we'll get to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll share everything ultimately. You know, I don't want to hurt people's feelings or anything like that. That's not cool.
Yes, you do.
Not publicly. No. I can say all yes, I need to say do. To them privately. I can be, listen, I want you to know this. I can be just as much of a dick off the air as I am on it.
No.
Yes.
The hell you say.
That's right. And for all of you that think I'm a nice guy, you're pretty much right. I try to find solutions to problems that don't hurt feelings and cause problems and stuff like that. But when it gets to the point where the people you're dealing with are just being a fucking pain in the ass, then the heavy artillery has to come out.
You have a breaking point.
Yeah.
And I agree. You know, I really hate the people who have that mentality all the time. You know, and so that's how you end up like with rude grocery store people or people being rude to grocery store people. I do not go out of my way being rude to someone just because.
No, I don't. But I don't ever want to be rude to anybody.
Right. You know, I do care about other people's feelings. I want to try to make people as comfortable as possible. I'm not always successful, but I do make an attempt.
Yeah. So do I.
But you get to a point where it's like, oh, all right, fine. I hate you. And your breath stinks.
I hate when you get
two rooms
away. I hate when you get penalized for being nice.
I know.
Like,
I've never been able to fix that part of me.
Yeah. You know, it's like when a girl says something to me like, you're too nice. I'm like, really? Because I do have this dark side of me that isn't. Would you like to see it? It wants to come out all the time.
I was going to say, as soon as a female says to you, you're too nice, that says to me that she's saying, wow, you're a pussy.
Yeah, that's the me too.
And there's no way now you're getting in these panties.
Yeah. I can still do that.
I'm saying just a random woman on the street.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, you know, because I do have two sides of me. And, you know, it's depending on what's going on professionally, you know, kind of depends what side comes out.
You know, question for you. Have you, and because this for me is at least my thing, I have never yet in my life ever been both professionally and personally happy at the same time.
I'd have to say that's true with me too.
Gotcha. I don't know if anyone ever is. If you are, then you are the luckiest mofo in the world.
Yeah. I know there's people that are.
Yeah. Fuckers.
I was watching this expose on the coaches of the SEC. And they were showing their family life and stuff like that. And they all looked very happy.
Well, what are they supposed to look like, though? I mean,
yeah,
seriously.
Yeah, but I can sense the bullshit. If there is any.
But these are people that have spent a good portion of their lives together.
Yeah.
Acting a certain way when the cameras come on. And there's people around.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense they were anything but happy.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Or it's fortunate. Maybe they're happy. I mean, they are making $7 million a year coaching college football. You know? Some of them. Anywhere from $4 to $7 million.
I know. And meanwhile, you know, real students are tagged with, you know, crippling debt as they go out into the world and try to find a job. But they got that education.
Yeah. Well, if you watch Susie Orman, she says it's stupid to go to college right now.
And sadly, I agree with her. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. I actually have suggested to someone I know, why don't you have your child get a job, even if it is a grocery store job, a McDonald's job, whatever, and have them, you know, save some money and pay for class by class at some, you know, community college, excuse me, and pay cash. It might make them take them 10 years to get that degree, but you know what? They won't be in debt and they will be in a much better place.
Yeah. They'll be 28 years old, debt free, and have an education.
Exactly.
As opposed to being loaded with debt at 22 years old and not being responsible and paying it back.
Right. And then a lot of that probably falls on parents. I don't know how that works exactly. Do parents have to be put down? I know if a student dies, that debt isn't, you know, just poof goes away. It goes on to parents and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, from what I understand, that's true. But
I need if you declare bankruptcy, that's a debt that does not get erased.
Yes, I know.
They will get your education money one way or the other.
Yes, I know.
I know. It just makes me angry because education is something that is there to better a person.
Mm-hmm. But you should pay your bills.
No, I agree. Yeah. 110%. But again, you're right. A person is probably in a better place to take that responsibility at 28, for instance, as opposed to, you know, they just graduated with a 4-year degree. They think they're going to get that job, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Have moved back in with mom and dad, living in their basement, become fat and depressed because now they have to work at McDonald's and they're still not making enough to pay back, you know, the monthly payments or whatever on their student loans.
Yeah.
Wasn't college worth it?
Yeah, but it's not that way for everybody.
I know.
I am just trying to coerce Samantha, who wants to own her own business, to go to not even get a degree, but just go to business classes. You know, learn
an associate's 2-year degree.
Yeah.
So she has the basic idea of how to take care of business.
Yeah, just so she knows what's expected of her to open a business in the form of workman's comp and insurance and all that stuff. All the little things people don't talk about. Yeah.
Right.
Tax crap, all that stuff.
Because you think it's just, you know, I know people who, you know, even if it's just like starting your lawn mowing business, you know, it's, no, you need to be, you know, filing forms and things.
Yeah. You need a bookkeep.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what I told her. I said, if you want to be just like, you know, your horse trainer per se, well, let me tell you, she's one of the better ones I've seen. She is completely buttoned up business wise and, you know, is doing all the right things.
Good.
You will have to as well.
Right.
She is a great mentor for you. You should ask her.
Good.
If that's what you want to do. And I'm sure she would be
very, very good advice.
I'm sure she would be happy to tell you and even be flattered that you sought her advice out of the 10,000 trainers that you know. So
that's very true. When someone notices you for something else, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, she's working hard to be a trainer. But when someone comes up and says, you know, I really appreciate, for instance, the way you have your shit together.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing that people like to hear. Like, oh, you noticed something else about me. I'm just not one dimensional to you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed a lot of things about her. She's hot. She's she's attractive. She's fiscally responsible. She's a great trainer. She's fun to watch. I mean, she's got it all.
And she smells good.
Well, I haven't smelled her, but... You know,
maybe you should.
Yeah. Can you say creepy? So, no.
Have you seen the Rob Lowe DirecTV commercials?
Yeah, I know.
I am creepy Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
he rubs his back, like that lower back, and it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, with his stomach sitting on his greasy skin. It's like, ugh.
He's like, and I'm watching, I'm at the pool watching people swim.
I'm in your space smelling your breath. Yeah. All right. Well, we got to go, Stacy. Another threesome podcast. Enjoyed it very much, my dear, as always. We'll have a new one for you next week as well, as always. And make sure you check out the LT2 schedule because everybody's shows are on there twice a day now. Want to make sure we welcome Gunner and Chow to the full-time fold. And we got a couple of shows, Stacy, of people that had submitted on the Lex and Terry show that we're going to get a try in Potluck.
Lock on.
And so it's cool stuff. We're very excited and very proud to give you LT2. And we're very proud to tell you that Drew Hillis is responsible for that at DBC Connections. So we want to thank him for all this, too. Until next week, we'll see you. Bye. Next and Stacy's Threesome.